Messages from the House.
March the 3rd, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 566, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill 40, Revisers Bill. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number one report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, no 0, 1 excused. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk. March the 3rd, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 564, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill 83, Medical Review Panel 2. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number one report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated.
It must not indicate it.
Nothing on there. There we are. Ayes 53, no 6, excused 1. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk. March 3rd, 2005, from the House of Representatives, message number 565, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, Senate File 19, State Lands Trust Responsibilities. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number one report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, no 0, excused 1. Patricia L. Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Conference Committee report. Senator Hines, are you ready on message 535?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read in message 535.
Joint Conference Committee report, Senate File 71, Wyoming Community Facilities Program. Reference House message number 535. Signing for the House, Representative Lockhart, Berger, and Hammonds. Signing for the Senate, Senators Hines, Anderson, and Vasey.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the Joint Conference Committee report, the reference message 535, Senate File 71. We had a substitute bill that had several changes in it, so what do we agreed to, we'd go back to the Senate version and made a few changes. Basically, we went back, and the first change there is we're calling for a survey, which I'll address in an amendment later. Then on page 4, line 7, we cleared up, or we thought this was a good clarification. When we was talking about school buildings and facilities, and we wanted to make sure that if the community took them over, then they were disassociated with the school programs, their finances and everything. So we adopted the amendment where no ownership interest nor any right to exercise control over the project or facility would remain with the school districts, and like I say, we've done this on the advice of the attorneys, and also this was an amendment from the House that we'd make it clear so we wouldn't get it any problems in later years with being part of a entitlement. We deleted then that line where we inserted that on 7 and 8 on page 4. When we moved to page 6, we'd asked for a 10-year, if an entity took over the funding and the maintenance, that they would guarantee that they had funding for a period of 10 years. They had reduced that to 3 years. So after discussion and the interest of compromise, we agreed on 4 years, because that's usually one of the main sources of funding, is the optional 1% sales tax, and that usually go in for 4 years. So we agreed to that. We had $5 million in our bill for the fund. They had $10 million, so we agreed to exactly halfway in between, $7.5 million. Then on page 9, after line 14, we inserted two additional amendments. The first one said that the council, and we're referring to the business council, shall report back to the Joint Minerals Economic Development Interim Committee not later than December 1st, and all the loans, grants, and who received them, the amounts, so we'd have that information. And then the next section we added, we wanted the council to survey and find out just what the needs were in the community. And we didn't think this would be too difficult, because the most of the needs that we've heard about and once were from communities where their school population is decreasing, and they are not getting the funds to keep up those buildings. Commission School Capital Construction Commission is recommending smaller buildings, and in a lot of cases these are used by the community. So if the community wants to take them over, they can through this process. And we think most of that is already identified. And so we think there should be no big problem in getting a survey and report back to the committee on that. Overall, I think this conference committee stuck very close to what the House wanted. I think it's an opportunity to start these programs, then come back next year, and if the desire is to expand them into other areas, we can do that. So, Mr. President, I would answer any questions and ask the Senate to vote for this conference report.
Any discussion on the conference committee report request? Any discussion? Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report number 535 on Joint Conference Committee Report on Senate File 71, reference message number 535. You've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Geist,
aye. Haynes,
aye.
Hawks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Job,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Peck,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Larson,
aye.
Closing vote. Scott, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee Report on message number 535 with reference to Senate File 71. Senator Haynes, are you ready on message number 477?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read in message 477.
Joint Conference Committee Report House Bill 83, Medical Review Panel 2, reference Senate message number 477. Signing for the House, Representative Simpsons, Lubnow, and Osborne. Signing for the Senate, Senator Haynes, Barrasso, and Mockler.
Senator Haynes.
Mr. President, I would move that we adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on House Bill 83. And, Mr. President, I would ask the body to vote yes on this bill. Mr. President, this particular measure took kind of an interesting trip around the horn, particularly on this side of the Capitol building. When it came over here, it received a fairly substantial amendment from one of our senators, and thereafter that amendment was amended a good number of times. And strangely enough, when it left this body over to seek a concurrence, it was reasonably close to what the House had sent us in the first place. So we asked to go to a free committee initially, which is what occurred. The conference committee report, you'll notice, starts off by stripping off all the Senate amendments. And the way we approached this particular undertaking is we started with the green copy of the bill. It came from the House. And then we picked and chose among the amendments that the Senate had proposed and put them in, and then we stripped out portions of the House Engrossed Act that we didn't like anymore. So we ended up with kind of a composite of the two acts, of the two efforts. And Mr. Chairman, rather than try to explain to you which of the Senate amendments were adopted and which of the House amendments were adopted, I don't think they would be a very fruitful undertaking, because a lot of times we would pick and choose from a particular amendment the subparts of that amendment that were good and would fit into the overall structure of the bill and leave the others on the table. So what we've done is prepared another one of these engrossed acts for you to look at. And it is how the bill would look if it were enrolled. In other words, it contains all of the Senate amendments that were adopted by the conference committee, and it has the House provisions that were deleted out of here. So, and also, just to help you in your analysis of the bill, we have shaded the parts of the bill that are new and that have not appeared before. So what I'd like to do, Mr. President, is to go through the bill and give you the highlights of it and tell you where we are right now with this particular bill. The first thing I'd like to point out appears on page 5, and it has to do with the appointment of a director. And the director is the Attorney General or his designee, and the director is charged with conducting the administrative business of the panel. And the director is further empowered to use the Office of the Administrative Hearings as necessary. And the director also may employ personnel, or he may contract for services necessary to implement this act. The director also is charged with promulgating rules and regulations in accordance with the Wyoming Administrative Procedure Act to implement this act. The second provision appears also on page 5, and that is how much the panel is paid. And we kept the Senate's position on that, and the pay would be for $500 each day for each of the panel members, plus $200 per day for preparation. There's a cap on that amount of $2,000 per claim reviewed. The next major point is on page 9, and it has to do with the composition of the panel. The panel would be composed of two medical service providers and two attorneys licensed to practice before the Wyoming Bar. These four then would get together and they would select a lay member who would be the fifth person on the panel. The presiding officer is discussed on page 11, and the presiding officer would be one of the panel members who would be elected by a majority of the panel, or if they were unwilling or unable to elect a panel member of their own to be the presiding officer, it would be a hearing officer from the Administrative Proceedings Office. The next important point would be the standard by which the evidence is viewed, and that is on page 14. And the standard is a two-step standard: substantial evidence that the acts complained of occurred and that they constitute malpractice, and then number two is a reasonable probability that the patient was injured as a result of the acts complained of. The next one I wanted to mention to you was on page 16, and that's the effective date. The effective date was moved back to July 1st, 2005, except for the provision in here that has to do with the implementing of rules and regulations, and then the appropriation to the Attorney General, who would be acting as director in this particular instance and would be setting up the program. The other document I would like to point out to you is a document that was delivered to your desk not too long ago, and it's called the timeline. And it lays out the time sequence that things occur in this whole stream of process in getting a claim filed and through the final result. Mr. President, that's a summary of the bill as the conference committee worked on it. Mr. President and members of this body, I think this is a bill that will work, particularly if we want to make it work. If we don't want to make it work, it probably is doomed to disaster, but I think that there is lots of incentive to make this effective and to make it do what it's supposed to do. So, Mr. President, that's an explanation of the conference committee report, and I would ask for a yes vote from the members of this body. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the conference committee report. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, rising against both the report and the bill. Mr. President, there are really two problems in this area that the constitutional amendment that was adopted gives us the ability to address. One of them is the extent to which this whole system is operated for the profit of the people running the system, with 75 or 80% of the money going to the people who run the system between the insurance companies and the attorneys and the expert witnesses. I can't see that the panel, in the form that this conference committee report gives it to us, does anything to remedy that problem. The second problem is the way the high malpractice insurance rates and the degree of injustice in the current system is driving our medical community away, making it impossible to recruit replacements. The hope with this panel is that we'll be able to weed out some of the cases that are just not well-founded at all and get them to after an objective look at the evidence, to the plaintiff just to say, okay, there isn't a case here, and give up. Mr. President, that may happen in a few cases. I think you will also attract a few additional cases that are essentially fishing expeditions to see if there is a case, and add to the expense of the system that way. So I think in that respect, the panel as now constituted won't do anything to reduce the cost of the system and thus the costs that are reflected in the malpractice insurance rates. And so I think it's a failure on that. I suspect, Mr. President, the way it's structured with this conference report, it is going to, in fact, increase the costs slightly, because I think you will attract some more cases in. And you will add an additional cost to the ones that have merit and go forward. Although it's quite possible, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, with the bypass that's built in here, that you will see very few cases actually make use of this system, that both parties will just bypass it. So, for those reasons, Mr. President, I came in here hoping we could do something meaningful in this area, and like all the other health areas, we haven't been able to this time. So I think we're better off without the bill. I think it'll do more harm than good. But that's my opinion, I suppose. And I think I hear Russ Zimmer's truck out in the lobby revving up, and I suppose we're going to find out.
Further discussion on the concurrence request. Further discussion. Senator Haynes.
Mr. President, last November, the citizens of this state went to the polls, and they voted for Amendment C. And they told us that they wanted to have a medical review panel. This is our opportunity, fellow senators, to give them the tools to proceed forward and have a medical review panel. I think it's the right thing to do. I think we owe it to the citizens of this state. And I hope a very yes vote on this conference committee report.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none. The motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee Report for House Bill 83, reference message 477. You've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted the report, Joint Conference Committee Report on message number 477, reference House Bill 83. For the information of the body, we were just down there. The governor has signed the budget. He did veto one amendment that was in there, one footnote, often referred to as the Nicholas footnote. That particular footnote required, which I thought's a great idea, required the rebated recapture districts to have the portion of that extra rebate recapture offset against the capital construction. The governor determined through his legal staff that was probably unconstitutional, though he too thought it was a good idea, but nevertheless thought that it was unconstitutional, and so he did veto that section. Other than that, the budget went through with no vetoes other than the one mentioned. I would like to congratulate the Appropriations Committee. I think they did an excellent job, and very pleased to have nothing of more significance than that to have for him to veto, and he did indicate that he thought the budget dealt with his priorities also, and there was an awful lot of good things in that. With that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move the Senate be in recess
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you withdraw your motion for just a moment? I was...
Mr. President, I beg leave to rise and withdraw my motion.
I was just handed one enrolled act. The quicker we can get these done, folks, the better off we're going to be. So, enrolled act number 133.
House Enrolled Act No. 133, being original House Bill 293, an act relating to controlled substances.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act No. 133, being original House Bill 293. I have so signed. Now, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that really clears the desk.
Move that the Senate be in recess until 2:15.
Motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2:15. Senator Cole.
Hey, Mr. President, Senate File 122, which was really one of the really paramount pieces of legislation I think went through here for the benefit of Wyoming and its kids. The governor took that that bill over and signed it with former Governor Hathaway, you know, in his presence. And which I think is just a marvelous gesture. And I just received a notice that today the signing ceremony for Senate File 122, for those that would like to attend, will be at 3 o'clock downstairs. But I just thought the body would I'd like to hear that.
Thank you, Senator Cole. I did see a picture of that. Governor Hathaway was extremely pleased and touched, and I agree with you, that was a magnificent gesture. The motion is the Senate be in recess until 2:15. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate is in recess until 2:15.